Today on Real Radio.
The world no longer has power to tell me what it wants me to do. I am a slave to Jesus, and when you're a slave to Jesus, you are free.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at a section in chapter 11 where the apostle continues to be quite open and transparent. He also continues contrasting false teaching with the truth of God's Word. In fact, the passage contains the famous description of Satan disguising himself as an angel of light. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called Worship God with What You Are.
There should be a willingness in our lives to trust the Lord, to trust God. And that's what Paul is saying. And it's a beautiful declaration of defense, but glory to God. He says, for I consider, this word consider is an amazing word. Paul says, for I've done the math. Watch this, everybody. This convicts me. Paul, that word consider, I have looked at my life since I got saved to this moment. I've done the math. You can see the little apostle doing the math. And you know what? Yeah, I got saved on this day, riding on that donkey, heading up to Damascus to kill Christians and arrest them. Got saved that day when I got knocked off that donkey. Jesus spoke to me. From that time on, what happened? Okay, I had a burden in my heart to preach the gospel. I saw people get saved. This miracle. I was involved in this thing. I saw this happen. I got beat up for Jesus. Right? Paul the apostle's life. He makes a calculation and considers and comes to this conclusion. I am a child of God. He could say, he could roll up his sleeves and say, I have scars to prove it. Now, you and I may not have scars to prove that we're Christians, but in some ways, we could maybe show spiritual scars that we're Christians, or that we've been attacked or maligned or made fun of or mocked or whatever it may be. Paul is saying, I've done this. I've come to this conclusion. And this is what I know. And he speaks to these people and he says to them, to the Corinthians, I am not inferior. I am not sort of, I'm no cut rate discount apostle. Now, listen, has anyone attacked you for not being a Christian or being a pathetic Christian? Has anyone ever said to you, well, look at you? Look, some people can say that because you did mess up, and some people could say that because you didn't mess up. Some people could attack you because you did mess up, and some people attack you if you didn't mess up. All the more reason why you need to know yourself before the Lord. And this is one of the great things that we want to take away from this message, is our hearts as Christians are to always be willing. Always be willing. And so listen, don't answer me. Are you a Christian? Is your heart willing? Willing to trust God. So I want to just leave this with you. Why would you not trust God? The word you and I would use is, I'm afraid, I'm fearful. I don't know if it's going to work out. Then that's not trusting God. If we trust Him, we'll rely upon Him. God can do anything with a willing heart. You see, why are you saying this? Because you know what? We're all the same. We go like this. We see people. Look, I'll be honest with you. You guys all know Greg Laurie. Greg Laurie can open his mouth and people get saved. I'm sure he can go into a store and buy a carton of milk and lead three people to Christ. And when you hear the Bible say that we all need to do the work of an evangelist, you and I exclude ourselves in an instant because we're not like that. You and I are very, very quick to generate excuses as to why we shouldn't embark upon this commanded thing. Like, for example, love one another. And we think, well, I know I should love one another, but I think my love's pretty pathetic, so I'll let somebody else love that other person. We're quick to exclude ourselves. Are you willing? Are you willing to lead someone to Christ? Are you willing to be a lover of others? Are you willing? Don't answer me. Are you willing? God knows. Are you willing than to trust him, you step out and obey him. Because Paul had every physical reason why to never show up. Ugly, short, bald-headed. We know from church history, remember, you guys already know this, he was very, very pathetic to look at. He was not a sight for sore eyes. It's somebody you wanted to completely avoid. His voice, we know from church history, was scratchy and hard to listen to. But he was mighty in writing. But man, when he showed up, they couldn't believe, are you the guy that wrote the book? No, they can't be. Well, it was. Willingness to trust God, meaning that God knows exactly why he called you. Are you not here right now? Are you not here on this Sunday? Can you not hear me? Are you not a Christian? Then all that being true, did God not know that he would have you as a believer in this moment of time? Then let's be bold. Let's be willing. And let's consider this, that we are not inferior to other Christians. God saved you. He wants to use you. It doesn't end when you leave these doors today. It just begins. You're only here right now for refueling. And then you go back out. There's very little that God requires of you and I, but this one thing God requires, and that is a willingness. Our willingness to obey and follow Jesus is what God's looking for. And I wrote a few things down, mainly for me, but if they apply to you, then awesome. How about this? God doesn't look for my ability. God doesn't look for my personality. God doesn't look for my maturity. God doesn't look for any network skills or fill in the blank. God wants me to be willing to follow Jesus. And that now is available to all of us. And then he says that I am not inferior. The word here means that I am not less than because I don't appear to be like. See, those other people that had come to town, the great orators that were undermining Paul, they were great in stature. They were probably beautiful people to look at. They were great orators. We already know this. They were profound, professional speakers. They were awesome. And Paul says, listen, I'm not like that. But the message I preach, the message I give is not inferior. Listen, this is so cool. And I run the risk of blowing it because it's so simple. Paul saw his identity in the quality of the gospel. If you think about that for a moment, your insecurities will begin to drift out of the window and blow away. Because we all have insecurities. If I packed you all up right now and took you down to the shops and turned you loose and said, okay, start sharing with people Jesus, you would instantly discover your insecurities. I'm not very good at speaking. I'm nervous. All these excuses, right? But when you begin to see, hey, it ain't about me. It ain't me. My Bible says God the Holy Spirit empowers who he uses at his discretion to proclaim the word of God. So how do you want to feel big and strong? How do you want to be? Why am I talking? I'm trying to do my Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, it's... Do you want to be the evangelator? It's terrifying in the flesh, no doubt about it. But if you give the gospel, you'll see the power of God at work. Be willing. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:25, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Isn't that great? And the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble blue bloods are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are mighty. That's the definition of the Christian. How do you feel about that? It's honest. All of a sudden, we all qualify. There's no excuse as long as I'm willing and trusting in God. This is what the Christian life is all about. Isaiah, awesome. I love this. In fact, this was the first Sunday morning message I ever preached in my life. It was from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Isaiah 6, verse 8 says, I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? And then I, that is Isaiah, said, here I am, send me. And God said, go. He was willing. That's all. He was willing. And let's be willing to trust him. Secondly, look at verse 6, a willingness to give to God. To give to God. Every Christian is commanded to give to God. You say, I don't have any money. God doesn't want your money. He wants your life. Did you say wife? No, your life, not your wife. He wants your life. I'll give him my wife. No, he wants your life. Well, I'll give this to Jesus. No, keep it. Unless you can put your life in that nickel or in that basket or in that effort, he doesn't want it. He wants your life. A willingness to give to God. He says, for even though I am untrained in speech, oh, this is awesome. Yet I am not in knowledge. Oh, this is great. Our willingness, listen, our willingness now, we know, Christian, listen. Our willingness is manifested every time you and I pray. Do you pray? Do you pray? Lord, have you ever said, Lord, I want, Lord, I need, Lord, help me. Dear Jesus. Willingness makes request of God. It's a healthy thing. It's a beautiful thing. And the Bible tells us in Romans 6:19, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh, says Paul to the Romans, to the Italians. For just as you presented your members, that is your body, as slaves to uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. This is your BC days. You know your BC days, before Christ days? Didn't you, listen, you didn't hold back in your BC days? Please don't raise your hand, but were you a drunk? Were you a womanizer? Were you a manizer? Were you a Budweiser? What were you? Isn't it interesting how you were enslaved to that world, and you not only were enslaved to it, you heaped up lawlessness upon lawlessness, slavery upon slavery to it. You invested yourself into that slavery. That's what he's saying. But look what he goes on to say. So now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. You see, why would I do that? Because number one, listen, as a Christian today, you hear that and you go, that makes sense. I know what that means. Maybe you're not a Christian today and you go, why would I do that? There's no fun in that. How do you know there's no fun in that? Let me tell you something. You think you're free? Look, we all know in this room. We've all been there in this room, predominantly all. There's maybe one of you that doesn't know what I'm talking about right now. But most of us came out of the world. We weren't raised in Christian homes. And we did all the stuff of the world. Some of the stuff we did that was of the world was to fit in so we didn't feel like the odd man out. We even did stuff we didn't like just so people think we're cool. Well, so what's with that? Slavery. Slavery to what people think. Slavery to what the world wants. Slavery to passions. You didn't have the power to walk away from that pornography or from that bottle or from that line of cocaine or whatever. You didn't have the power. You were enslaved to it, were you not? It snapped its fingers and you jumped and you thought you were free. Now you become a Christian. Watch this. I'm saved. You're saved by the blood of Christ. I am free to live any kind of life I now choose. Did you know that? Free. I choose now to be a slave of Christ. Well, what kind of freedom is that? I am free from pornography, from cocaine, from the bottle, from, you hear me? The world no longer has power to tell me what it wants me to do. I am a slave to Jesus. And when you're a slave to Jesus, you are free. The world thinks we're in bondage. Oh, all you Christians, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. No, you know what it is? I don't have to, I don't have to, I don't have to. Or I like it better in the positive. I get to, I get to, I get to. It's a radical difference. I give my life to God. I give my body to God. I don't yield my members anymore over to the things of this world. It's a dead end. It's death. Thirdly, under this point, willingness to live before God. Get this under your belt. Take a deep breath. Church, I want to hear you breathe. Let's do that again. It feels good. Also sounds funny from up here. To live for God. When do we live for God? All the time. Is there any place we're not supposed to be living for God? Everywhere. Listen to this. He says in verse 6, but we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. Simple translation, you Corinthians, you saw me, Paul, and my ministry team in every situation. You know what that means? It means that the people of Corinth, they saw an opportunity when Paul was being attacked or things were going wrong. Let's say they set up the ministry outreach and it rained. People watched them to see if their patience wore thin. If somebody came up and threw a dead cat at Paul while he was preaching, or rotten fruit, he just took it. Did you ever see George Bush duck that chew? That's one of the great lines. That's one of the great presidential moves of all time. And then he smiles back at the guy. George Whitfield, people used to throw dead cats and dead rats at George Whitfield when he was preaching. And he would duck. Can you imagine? Preaching. And he was encouraged by it. That's how much he lived before God. How awesome is that? You're an idiot. Yeah, praise the Lord. Right? You're always living before God. Are you a Christian? Yep. Then listen, you ever live before God. And Paul is saying, everything we did, in season and out of season, you guys, it was no secret to you. You saw us in every situation that we could have blown our witness, and we didn't. Because we don't live before the Corinthians. We don't live before the Chinohillians. We live before God. Christian, live before God. Be fearless. Live before God. Second point today is this. Look at verses 7 through 11. Worship God with what you are. The Christian is dedicated. The Christian is willing, and the Christian is dedicated. And what happens when we dedicate ourselves to God? Who can tell? I used to have a football coach from Texas. I don't know what this means. Maybe you do. But when something good would happen on the football field, he would yell, Katie, bar the door. Does anybody know what that means? I don't know what that means. It's a Texas thing. Katie, bar the door. Well, we don't know, but he was happy when he said it. And we must have been doing something right. And listen, when you dedicate yourself to God, it is open field. Who can tell what God wants to do with you, with us, as a church? That joy, the hope of this breaks down, in my opinion, the individuality when it comes to ministry. Individuality is a wonderful thing. Independence, God gives that to you. You have a personal Savior. He listen, if you were the only child of Adam and Eve, after the fall, he would have come and died for you, for just you. Doesn't that blow your mind? I mean, really? I mean, I know I just said that, and I know you heard it, but do we really believe that? I mean, come on, let's be honest. That's tough to believe, but yet it's pure theology. Did you know that? It's hard for me to believe that Jesus, if Adam and Eve were my mom and dad, and they said, that's it, man, after that, we're not heaven anymore. Jesus Christ would have come and died for the three of us. That's theologically perfect. Did you know that? Theologically perfect. That is the nature of God. But see, do you see yourself that valuable to God that he would come and die for you? You better. He said, I don't understand it. I didn't ask you to understand it. I don't understand it. I'm asking you to believe him. I'm asking you to understand that for that commitment he made to you, we should naturally be dedicated to him. I was reading this weekend Nathaniel Hale. Does anybody remember him from history, Nathaniel Hale? If you need to go revisit his life. Nathaniel Hale was a spy for the Continental Congress. Nathaniel Hale was a young man. He had a good friend, which was also a key spy for George Washington, Benjamin Talmadge. And Nathaniel Hale is the famous guy that when he got caught by the British, because King George had issued the decree, when you find someone dedicated to their cause, if he's a spy, no trial, no hearing, he dies on the spot. So they caught Nathaniel Hale, strung up the rope, and they said, any last words? Can you imagine? He's young too. I forget how young he was, but he was young. He said, yep, Oh, listen to this. Gives me goosebumps. Because I see this as how I ought to be as a Christian. Nathaniel Hill said, yep. In those famous words, I only regret that I have one life to give for my country. Can you imagine? Well, for that, we're going to hang you twice. What a word. That was his last words. I only regret that I only have one life to give for my country. How much more that the country that you and I have a passport to is eternal, forever, heaven, and that we would say, I am so dedicated to Jesus for all that he's done for me, I only have this regret, that I only have one life to live in this world for him. But we can live like we have 1,000 lives. I'm not going to let a cat have 9. I'm a Christian. I want to have an infinite amount of lives to be offered up for the Lord every day. We die daily, says the scriptures. Amen? We are to be a dedicated example. Verse 7. Did I commit? Listen how sad. This makes you sin. Watch what makes you cry. Did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted? Are you guys so bent out of shape and hate me because I didn't come to town on some big entourage? I was just an average run-of-the-mill guy so that serving you could exalt the church at Corinth. You guys hate me because I was a humble dude? Because I didn't have you kiss my ring? And walk around as some religious icon? Because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge? They made fun of him because he preached the gospel and didn't take an offering. Today that would be a welcomed event, would it not? Look what he says in verse 8. Here's, by the way, this is awesome. Irony. We get the word irony from this statement. He says, I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. Now, he didn't pull into town and say, hey, give me all your money. I'm going to send it to the Corinthians. What he was saying was, other churches who gave him money for his hard work of preaching and teaching the people, Paul took that money, and instead of spending it on other church outreaches, you know what he did? He spent it at the Corinthians. You say, how did he spend it at the churches in Corinth? He lived off of that support plus his own labor making tents. You know, he's a tent maker. So that the Corinthians would see a good witness and not attack him for taking money, because when Paul came to town, all the false teachers were taking money. Listen, the orators, the false apostles, they would preach the gospel and then take an offering. And are you sitting down? Listen to this. It still happens today. They are going to attack Paul by saying, hey, Corinthians, we know he's a fake. Listen to this. Listen to the psychology of this. Are you listening? We know he's a fake because when he preaches, he doesn't take an offering. If he was of God like us, when we preach, we take an offering. Do you hear the justification? Do you hear the bamboozling? If he were of God, he would rip you off like we are. Pretty sneaky, huh? Does this not happen today? If you want to see God work, you send in your money. Paul says, I preached it free of charge so that you'd have nothing to say. What an amazing man of God. They attacked him for that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called Worship God with What You Are. It's a lesson taken from a section in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Worship God with what you are, part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series through this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, you can write to Pastor Jack anytime and let him know if Real Radio is a part of your day. We'd like to hear that, as a matter of fact. Here's what one Real Radio listener wrote. I listen to Pastor Jack every night on the East Coast, and I'm not only blessed by his outspoken teaching, but it also fills some of the empty spots in my knowledge of the Bible. And that one comes from Olga. Thanks so much, Olga, for sending that in. So again, just a couple of points and clicks, and you can send Pastor Jack a word of encouragement. Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.